Our reenactment of Jesus' triumphal procession into Jerusalem and our prayerful recollection of his suffering and death in that poignant reading of the Passion are rich enough to stand without the embellishment of a homily. Let me therefore simply make a brief comment to tease out some of the richness of these events. We call today Palm Sunday, but it is more correctly referred to as Passion Sunday, just as this whole week is called Passion Week. Throughout these days, especially on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, we will revisit some of the climactic moments in Jesus' life. However, we need to be clear. Despite the many dramatic representations of the way of the cross that we might encounter, our aim this week is not to recreate the suffering and death of Jesus. We do not pretend for the space of these few days that Jesus has not already risen from the dead. Before this week even begins, we already know that Jesus, once dead, now risen, lives victoriously with the Father and the Spirit in heaven. Rather, our desire is simply to remember some of the signal moments in Jesus' passion and death. You may have heard me remark in a previous homily that I much prefer the Spanish word for remember. In English, memory seems to be located somewhere up here in the head. I call to mind a certain person. I call to mind a certain event. The Spanish word, recordar, on the other hand, situates memory squarely in the heart. Recordar. Here's the cor, the corazón. In Spanish, memory involves not simply calling to mind some person, but holding that person in the deepest recesses of one's heart. That's what we do this week. We try to capture in our heart what Jesus thought and felt, as well as what was said and done to him during that traumatic final week. But do not focus only on Jesus' suffering. After all, it is not suffering that saves the world, not even the selfless, heroic suffering of Jesus. Rather, what saves the world is God's passionate and unconditional love for us. The tender love of God that stooped to take on human flesh in Jesus. The love of God that did not shrink even from sacrificing his only precious son. That's what we endeavor to remember this most solemn Holy Week. Some of you might flinch at that thought, protesting that you are not worthy of such love. You think, I cannot accept that. I've never done anything to merit such heroic love. And you would be correct. In fact, there is nothing that any of us could ever do to earn God's love. Nevertheless, as St. Paul categorically declares, God's love has already been poured into our hearts. While we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What might help us to overcome our hesitation in acquiescing to God's great love would be some sort of response on our part that takes into account the oft-quoted remark found in the Brothers Karamazov, where Father Zosima observes that love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. That's what God hopes for from you and for me, that our response to his love not be some stunted, scrawny offering of pious prayers or cheap devotions. God's desire is that as we reverently gaze on Jesus, humbly washing the feet of his disciples, enduring peaceably that sham of a trial, making his way resolutely to the cross, and all this for you and for me, that his harsh and dreadful love might be matched by our efforts, however feeble and however costly, at forgiving the person who does not deserve our forgiveness, or stepping out of our comfort zone to speak up for the refugee and the migrant, or simply acting more gently and compassionately toward the people we live with. Authentic love carries a cost, but love also makes that cost bearable. What will be the price of your love this week? How much will it cost you if yours is to be a love in action and not just a love in dreams?